All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing a local podcast. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is December the 1st, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's super duper wherever you are at. A little warmer today. The weather report is a little warmer than yesterday. Still wintry, beautiful, and it's Friday, so a lot of great things in there. Hopefully you can find something positive in those things. Yeah, Friday, last day of the week. It is the first day of December. A lot of cool stuff happening. Jumping into the Christmas spirit. Getting ready to have to spend a little pepe and, you know, hopefully not lose my serenity over it. It's really not that big of a deal. You know, I talk about these things because there have been times in my life where they really were a huge deal. And they're still a big deal. I think about them today. It doesn't consume me like it used to, right? Because I do know that it will all work out as long as I stay sober. And it always does, right? It always stays. It always works out. Doesn't always mean I love it, but it works out. And so I have to keep that in mind. But I do bring it up because, you know, if it used to bother me, it's got to bother other people. And it seems like we're in such a tough time financially. A lot of people are struggling financially or just having to give up a lot of the things that we used to enjoy. And because, you know, I was talking to my wife last night, I go, you know, our financial situation is such that we are basically just getting by, but we're getting by. Right, we're just having to give up doing a lot of the fun things that we used to do, which would be mostly like eating out. Eating out, we used to go to Lefty's, which is a local restaurant here, take the kids. I mean, if I rewind 5 years, we are spending and the things that we did 5 years ago were so different than how it is today. 5 years ago, we used to take the kids down to the boardwalk, let them play games, you know, get pizza, walk the boardwalks. If we come across something, we'd buy it, right? It's a lot different. And you know what's funny is 5 years ago, it seemed like we were financially tight. So the one thing that never changes is my fear of financial insecurity. But it has changed. And we were talking about it last night. And a lot of people are out there really having a tough time. And I don't know if they're having a tough time making their bills or just giving up the fact that we can't spend and carry on like we used to. Or some of us can't. And then you always have the group that can. And so it is interesting. You know, I got a message right on my Facebook page. I try to share what's going on in my life a little bit. You know, a rough idea of what's going on in my life doesn't need to be too detailed, but just things that come up. And the one thing that I get shit about is that all the stuff that I talk about, the one thing I get shit about is that I did not pay for my kids' college. Joe Jackson stepping out. Yeah, it's so weird. Like this lady, I got this text yesterday from this lady. I know it's fake. You know, all the stuff that I get. There is a guy that I guess really gets aggravated by my podcast. And he comes at me pretty good, you know, criticizing me, calling me names. I've had people send my father letters. It's really weird because this, you know, I'm not, this podcast is really just trying to help people, or at least, you know, show what the wrong path and hopefully the right path looks like if you're trying to get sober. If you have no desire to get sober, you probably shouldn't even be listening to this podcast, right? I would think, I always wonder if it's just people that get mad at me are people that don't believe that people should get sober. I don't really think the message of this podcast is anything other than, you know, one day at a time, try to work a 12-step program, try not to drink, save your life, right? And if you can save your life, then maybe you can hopefully help the lives around you, right? Don't take them all down, right? And my life has been pretty fucked up ever since I was born, right? I was born, I always say I was given away, right? I was born and put up for adoption. I wasn't even wanted, right? And so that's how my life started. So it hasn't been, you know, and I have a wonderful life today and I have amazing parents and I've had a wonderful life all my life. But one of the things about my life that's been so great in my mind is that I was very spoiled and not on purpose. You know, when you adopt a child, I think there's probably fear that, you know, you can love this child and then one day the child will say, but you're not really my parents and leave, right? And so, and also just trying to do your best, right? And so I don't think my parents had the intention of spoiling us. I just think we ended up being spoiled and which meant we didn't appreciate what we had, right? And I remember my parents would throw everything at us, trying just to make us happy, keep us busy, keep us out of trouble. And my friends would even say, you're so spoiled. And I'd be like, really? I don't know. I can't tell. And I don't know if they just didn't get much or we were spoiled. That is for sure. But like I said, I don't think it was on purpose. But looking back, I feel it's like embarrassing that I was, you know, that entitled and that spoiled. And how I treated everything that was given to me, right? I did not appreciate, you know, I remember having a bike, leaving it outside the pizza place. Someone stole the bike. You know, if I had worked for that bike and earned the money for that bike, I probably would have bought a lock and locked it up. But it was just, you know, just showed up under the Christmas tree one year. What? So as an adult, right, as a parent raising kids, because, you know, and I've talked about this, when we were kids, we were characters, right? We were spoiled, entitled characters. And we were good kids, but we were definitely spoiled. You know, as a parent today trying to raise children, the one thing we don't want to raise are a bunch of characters, right? We want kids to have integrity, right? We want them to be considerate and thoughtful of others. And considerate and thoughtful of the stuff that they have and what it took to get it. So when it came for my son to go to college, first of all, he's a very smart guy, right? But he had to, you know, sometimes you have to let your kids, you know, suffer and struggle and work through it and figure it out so they appreciate it, right? You know, I've said before that we didn't pay for David's college and he's paying for it. And I've also said that when it's all said and done, we'll take a look and see where he's at. And if we need to help him out, we will help him out. But when a kid like my son David is paying for his own college, you know, he's already made big decisions in college because of the fact that he pays for it. You know, not wasting money on classes that he doesn't need. You know, he wants to get done. He likes to. That's how sort of David is. He jumps into it. And takes it on, and, you know, I talked to him over that he was home during Thanksgiving. And, you know, when he came home for Thanksgiving, he's an amazing boy, right? He takes care of his responsibilities. You know, he's worked. He's got his own money. He's doing everything that he's supposed to do because he has to, right? And everything that he does, he appreciates it because he knows what it took to get it. And like I said, in the end, we'll look and see where he's at when school is all said and done, but – you know, it's tough, you know, and this lady that sent me this email, you know, about paying for his college, I know it's fake. It has to be. It's this old, it was a little old lady, you know, and I looked through her Facebook and it's just all old ladies supporting COVID and supporting these, all these hot topics that have appeared over the last few years. And so it's probably a fake account because I'm like, why would this little lady, first of all, even give two shits about this podcast? And second of all, why does she even care? But if it is true and it is really this old lady, times have changed, ma'am. Times have changed from when you were raising children. I mean, she looks like she's probably 80. You know, the times have changed, and we are in a different type of world now. And it is hard to raise kids with all of the stuff going on around us. It's hard to be an adult with all the stuff going on around us. You know, it's, I've talked about looking at phones, right? Screen time. I look at my phone all the time. I'm addicted to the phone. I'm just as addicted to the phone as my kids are, you know? I use my spare time between clients. I'll sit and look at the phone. I mean, I read news, right? I don't, I'm not looking at, I'm not playing games. I'm just, I usually just read news or, you know, look at Instagram or something like that. It's not like I have hours of time, but I like to read the news. It's frustrating, all the fake news that's out there, but I do like to read the news. But I'm just as addicted as an adult as it is, as my kids are. You know, we weren't, there was a little separation between adults and kids when I was a kid, right? And today, we're all looking at the same shit, and you know, it's, my kids are seeing things and are exposed to more stuff today than I would have ever been exposed to at their age. You know, at 12 years old, my middle son's 12, my life was nothing, right? I mean, when I was in sixth grade, I guess he's in seventh grade now, when I was in seventh grade, I mean, we would go to school, we'd come home, ride our bikes, hang out, ride motorcycles, you know, play outside, right? Us old guys and people, we love to point out, we used to play outside, right? But we didn't have a phone, right? We didn't even have MTV, right? I remember not even having cable. So of course we're going to play outside. It was all there was to do. And I appreciate that today, but I can't be mad about it. Right, I can't be mad that today, you know, our kids don't play outside like we did. The atmosphere is also a lot different too. We're very scared, so scared now. Oh boy, you know, everyone's going to steal the kids. You know, our kids can't go outside. CNN, whatever it is. You know, I believe CNN sort of started that when that little girl fell in the well. And we all looked at our TVs. If you don't remember that, back in the, I don't know when it was, 80s. It must have been early 80s. This little girl fell in a well. And she was stuck at the bottom of the well. And CNN started reporting on it for 24 hours at a time. All night, all day. I mean, the little girl was probably in the well a few days, right? And so it was on all night. And that's when CNN started that 24-hour news. And I remember looking in the backyard going, is there a well in our backyard? Right, CNN started treating the United States as a community, and so when that started, you know, anything that happened, if there was, you know, a kidnapping in, you know, Arizona, you know, people in Delaware felt like, back then I was living in New Mexico, but we all reacted, right? Oh my God, this must be how it is here. And so today, however many years later, we're all so damn afraid to let our damn kids out that they sit inside. Right? Or they go to, you know, after school sports and stuff or whatever it is. But to just come home, jump on a bike and be home by dark, and no way. No way. So times have changed. But, you know, as a parent trying to raise kids today, there's so many influences. It's hard to keep your kids from turning into a fucking asshole. I mean, we're on the verge of it now, you know, with these shoes, you know, all the stuff these kids want. It's crazy. And so, you know, I don't understand, first of all, why people have to give me shit because I'm trying to raise my kids in a way that they're considerate of money, where it comes from, how much time it took to get it, right? And so they think about things. You know, when my parents paid for about seven schools for me to go to because I didn't really care much about school, but what I did care about is going with the narrative that sort of society had created. And my parents were like, you know, you need to go to school. And I'm like, okay, fine. And so they would pay for school, community college, UNM. I went to an arts and advertising school in La Jolla. God only knows how much that cost my freaking parents. And I didn't give a shit. I couldn't say, you know what? I'm just not ready for school right now. I'm just too immature. I definitely couldn't say that, but I just wasn't ready. But my parents were so excited about the idea, and I didn't want to disappoint them, and I wanted to be part of the narrative like every other kid going off to college. And so I said, yes, that's what I want to do. I want to go to college. I didn't. I did not want to go to college. And so they paid for it, and it was a waste of money every time. And then I would lie, and then I would not go to class, and then I would get wrapped up in all this shit and full of fear and anxiety and, oh. And so to me, it was like, you know, you want to go to college? You go to college. You pay for it. That way you know exactly what you're buying, and you know exactly that when you don't go to class, and, you know, let me just say my kids don't ditch. They don't have the opportunity to ditch like we did, but my kids all go to school. They do really well. But I just thought it would be important to try to build some character. And in my attempt at building character, all these people are attacking my own character. I'm a good guy. I don't know why you have to come after me. You know, this other guy that's always coming after me, he like literally calls me names and asshole and shithead and dumb fuck. And I'm like, I don't know why. Am I doing something, right? I mean, I got up this morning, hung out with my family, had a cup of coffee, came here, thought I would sit down and talk a little recovery. I'm going to work all day. After work, I'm going to take my wife out for dinner, maybe run into my dad and brother, come home, watch a little TV, and come do it all over tomorrow. Why all the hate? Why? Why are you so mad? So some part of me believes that it's sort of this, like, this, I don't know, I don't want to say conspiracy, but I do believe there is this kind of attack on people that are doing things on social media or on YouTube or on, you know, doing podcasts. There's just people that want to undermine it and you know, give you shit. And it's fine. The good thing is, and I said this yesterday, this podcast does not make money. It does not try to, does not care. And, you know, the thing that happened with Elon, and I actually personally think that what he said, I agree with. If you don't want to advertise, fuck you. Go fuck yourself. I hate the fact that so many people are held hostage by advertisers. It's a shame because that's the only where there's any money is advertising. But it really, like, the, you know, it waters down the story. We don't get what people particularly think, opinions, because everyone's afraid to say anything because they're going to just get defunded. And so what's that going to leave us, right? You know, we have freedom of speech, but there's so much revenue trying to be created through all this stuff that people are self-censoring themselves and are afraid to say anything because they don't want to lose advertising money, which is a shame. Because then we just get a watered-down version of everything. And the other thing is, like what Elon said, I didn't even really understand. I didn't even understand it. I know all that stuff over there is really way out of my pay grade. I don't understand any of it. And the one thing I've learned, even through this program, is if I don't know what I'm talking about, I should just keep my mouth shut. And I'm sure a bunch of people are going to say, you don't know what you're talking about anyway, and you don't shut up. So, fine. But I know one thing. I don't know anything about over there. And so I just don't talk about it. Right? But I guess he's a pretty smart guy, and he's got himself in the jam. I personally like the stance, not as much of what he tweeted or wrote on his platform, but just like, you know, I'm tired of being held hostage by these advertisers. The problem is he really does need the money. I mean, I don't know if he needs that money for himself personally, but his company needs that revenue to survive, right? He's got employees and stuff. So, I don't know. But, man, it is, you know, I don't know why we can't just have a little more fun. Why does everything have to be so stressed out and tense? I said this at a meeting the other night. We have a real problem with alcohol and drugs in this country. I don't really care about social media and all that stuff. We really have a big problem with drugs and alcohol. And a lot of people are suffering privately, you know, and especially times like we're in. You know, we're in tough times. And a lot of people, you know, whether it was during the pandemic, I remember when I started drinking, the way I started drinking, I had no intention of becoming the drinker that I ended up being. But over time, right? Over time, I became something that I was not familiar with. And it is, I see it happening to other people. I have people that come into the salon. I can smell the alcohol on them. And so we have a real problem. And so just trying to shine a little light, you know, and see if we can, you know, help someone find a solution, right? Instead of constantly living in the problem. That's all this podcast is about. I've been doing this for a long time. I've definitely had some highs and lows. I've definitely, you know, after 5 years, I drank. I say that that was important because it really taught me. That was the real moment where I felt like this entitled, spoiled kid really sort of died. And a guy that was like, shit, I really need to take advantage of this gift that's being given to me, and I get to. It was a real shift for me. And because up until that point, I was just that spoiled kid still. And so it's crazy. I don't, like I said, I don't know why we get all the grief, why everybody's so upset, right? Why is everyone so upset? We need to relax. It's Friday. Yeah, what else is going on? Maybe I'll read a Daily Reflections. And I did put my house on the market yesterday. That was scary. You know, that's the other thing is that, you know, when you live in a town and a lot of your friends are real estate agents, I feel like someone's going to be upset, right? Because I probably know 15 real estate agents, and picking someone to try to sell this house. Yeah, so that was scary, but, you know, we found somebody. Hopefully it'll work out. All right, let's see. Daily Reflections. Accept. Suggested steps, December 1st. Oh, it's for my buddy. Our 12th step also says that as a result of practicing all the steps, we have each found something called spiritual awakening. AA's manner of making ready to receive this gift lies in the practice of the 12 steps in our program. 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 106, 107. I remember my sponsor answering when I told him that the steps were suggested. He replied that they are suggested in the same way that if you were to jump out of an airplane with a parachute, it is suggested that you pull the ripcord to save your life. He pointed out that it was suggested I practice the 12 steps, and if I wanted to save my life, so I try to remember daily that I have a whole program of recovery based on all 12 of the suggested steps. Yeah. You know, it's one of the problems, or I don't know if it's a problem, but one of the things I think that happens in programs like this is that people come in and they feel better, and I don't think they get into the steps, right? I don't think, because, you know, like I've said for myself, you know, I just wanted to feel better. I just wanted to stop drinking and driving. When I came in here, I had no idea I was going to be working any steps. And when I came in, you know, the first day, I'm like, I'll do whatever it takes, right? And then over time, you're like, eh, I guess. And then people get more picky and choosy and what they're going to do. And obviously, when it comes to things like God and that stuff. And so they just fade out, but they still go to meetings. And so, like, you know, a lot of people really maybe have read or had conversations with a sponsor, maybe on just the first three steps, right? The first three steps, and then get sort of hung up on the fourth step and never really do it or do it half-ass, and then never quite get what they need out of the fifth step. And then by the sixth, seventh, and eighth, ninth, and tenth, and 11th, and 12th, really just sort of lost interest. And so it's tough when you, especially when you're leading, like I'm leading that step meeting on Saturday nights now, and I got to find speakers, you know, I mean, we'll be in the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th steps. And so to find people to come and share, to lead us a meeting on those steps, those people are harder and harder to find because a lot of people don't make it to the steps. I mean, through the whole step. So, you know, it's important. But it is a journey. Like I said, you know, when I first came in that first 5 years, I did the steps but I was also a people pleaser, right? I also, there was some sickness in that, you know, there was, I was satisfying this people pleasing side of me in the act of doing the steps, right? I wanted my sponsor to recognize, right, that I'm a hard worker or whatever. And so, you know, there was some sickness behind that. But I did the steps, didn't really understand them, you know, drank, got beat down, lost some more shit, had to drag my ass back in the program, barely made it back, right? Take another look at the steps, still doing pills, still struggling, not quite getting it, hanging in there, right? Keeping that people-pleasing part of me. And at this point, I think I just, you know, I knew I needed the program. And then, you know, to kind of get myself in a jam up again on pills and then to change my sobriety date and to finally drag my ass back in here, really hungry to find out what these steps were all about. And then going through that for a while, and then a pandemic, right? A pandemic hits and all of it's taken away. And then we get to come back, and I finally was like, whoa, right? Whoa. But here I am, you know, the ups and downs of this, but I want it. I want to be sober. I love it. I love all of the boring, uneventful shit that goes on in my life. I'm so grateful for it. And I keep working at it and keep working at it. And, you know, I'm still hanging in there. And so, you know, it starts the month of December. I can announce, you know, on the 22nd, I'll celebrate my 15-year anniversary. And, but I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. I am going to get a coin, of course, but I'm not going to have it last all week. You know, I'm supposed to get 15 years, right? I'm supposed to get 15 years in a day. I'm supposed to get 15 years in 2 days. There's no real reason why I can't have as much as I want, right? They always say, you can have as many as you want. You can have as many great days as you want, and I want all of them. And I want to say, you know, I appreciate people sending me the text and stuff on the in the social stuff. I'm sorry you're upset, but still text me. I appreciate it. This one guy, he always is all mad at me. And one day I was like, you're not so, you don't seem so pissed off today, right? You don't seem so aggressive. You know, I think regardless of a person, you know, what they think of me and what I think of me, you know, I think we can find some sort of equal ground somewhere in the middle. I hope so. You know, I don't want to be mad at people. I want to have a good life and have friends. So keep texting me. I get it. And I'll try to do better. Whoa, there's a lot of activity above me here. I'll keep trying to do better. And I hope everyone has a great day. Later. We'll leave the TV.